If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make them all day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like
the temperatures may be going up, but the prices are going down at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Dads and grads may rule the month of June, but Ryan Kemner and his great sales staff have deals for all. It doesn't matter if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, your next one can be found at Bellman Automotive. To supplement their wide inventory, they have financing for everyone and a top-notch service department to help keep your new ride maintained. In the market for a new truck? Here's a great offer from Bellman. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP on a new Ram. That's right, $12,000 off, but that's not all. At Bellman, you also get a Grizzly cooler or your choice of a Remington shotgun, Ruger pistol, or Savage Access Camo rifle from M&M Guns at no extra charge. So drive home in a new Ram truck and your choice of a rugged Grizzly cooler or a gun at no extra charge. Bellman Automotive really can do it all. Give them a call at 636-462-3600 or swing on by at 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri, BellmanCDJR.com. We are guestless for the rest of the show. We got about 40 minutes here. So you're more than welcome to call in on the Bellman Automotive phone line at 855-282-8255.
Do you know what a clock is?
Yeah.
It's definitely, we definitely have about 20
minutes. 20 minutes, left. My bad. Sorry. We've been having so much fun, it feels like we could go another 40 minutes. The Bellman Automotive phone line, 855-282-8255. The text line at 855-282-8255. I had Matt Rocchio watch something. We can't play it on the air because there's too many F-bombs in it.
But go find it.
But go find it. Go to YouTube and type in Quentin Tarantino, Sleep With Me, Top Gun. Quentin Tarantino was in a small independent film where he's at a party. The name of the film is Sleep With Me, and he's at a party, and he's talking to this guy about how the movie Top Gun, on the surface, is about Navy fighter pilots, but it's actually more about a man coming to grips with his own sexuality.
Yeah,
and he explains it, and there's scenes that are cut in from Top Gun while he's explaining it, and Rocky, I don't think I've ever seen Rocky O laugh that hard in my entire life.
And again, as somebody who can be that big of a fan of that video, and then hate on me for trying to do similar, even less cynical versions of my own.
I'm not trying to get you to, but I'm not trying to convince you of anything other about Top Gun. I'm just telling you to watch it.
This is true. I've been convinced.
You've never seen Top Gun?
Of course I've seen Top Gun. Kidding me?
The funny thing about Top Gun is that when I had public relations classes when I was in college, we had someone from Nob Nasser Air Force Base.
Overrated.
Because I, what, college?
No, Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Yes.
I agree with you a little bit on that one. Anyway, we had someone from the Nob Nasser Air Force Base come to the class to talk about the kind of public relations that the military does. And he brought up about how when the producers of Top Gun were wanting to make the film, they went to the Air Force first. And the Air Force is like, we're really not that interested. So then they went to the Navy, and the Navy's like, yeah, we'll do it. And then the Navy used Top Gun as a recruiting tool for like 20-some-odd years. So they're talking about like how you have to be careful about the decisions you make because they could have long-lasting ramifications.
You think the Navy edited out the volleyball scene in their official version? I'm just wondering.
I think the Navy
maybe
just,
they caught onto that little.
The
part
Navy
of Top
probably
Gun?
Just shows the dogfighting scenes, and that's probably about it.
Fine.
I don't think they showed like the scene with him and the funny thing about how Kelly McGillis was considered hot in the 80s, and you look at her now, you're like, wow, we must have been really high.
I know that Disney wanted to drop the Back to the Future scene with him and his mom, where they're about to hook up.
I wonder why.
Okay, no more talking about Back to the Future and the Karate Kid for the rest of the show. We've beaten these horses. No, you're not. What you're doing is being a bleep disturber, and you know it, Giamatti. I never knew that about you, but you've become a real bleep disturber.
Hey, Giamatti, never stop.
Four finger guy texting in, I would let Al do anything to me. I don't know if he means Big Al or what, but apparently Four finger guy's hitting the Telemordu kind of hard tonight, and he's going to let Al do anything to him. Ed Roy looks goiter also texting in, I missed the draft last night. Did Lonzo's daddy walk him up on stage by hand? No, actually, you know what? LeVar Ball.
I'm surprised he stayed off the stage.
He stayed off the stage, and he kind of took a little bit of a backseat last night, kind of let Lonzo have his moment. I mean, for the most
for him,
part,
it's a backstage. For
the, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's out in the middle of the draft floor, pumping up the crowd, throwing hats into the stands.
Yeah, the big baller, hats, the tie he had on had BBB on it.
While that tie was ridiculous, I didn't hate Lonzo's bow tie that had the little BBB in the top corner. That actually had a little hint of class. It was all black. The BBB logo was in black in the top corner.
It wasn't bad.
It looked sleek.
It wasn't bad, even though I'm not big on bow ties. I'm just not big on them.
I don't know how we get... What? Are you kidding me? They're the classiest thing in the world.
What, bow ties?
Of course.
No, I don't think so.
I'm with Berger. I'm not big on the bow tie either.
No, man, you guys are crazy.
Hockey Bob texting in, this is a great program. Nick Han is my new idol. Berger rocks. Peblio, I can't say that word. Hashtag I'm done. Have a fantastic weekend. One of you. Hockey
is.
Bob is not a fan of Peblio.
I see how it is now. All right, then.
Maybe we should call you Mario, right, Mario Van Peblio.
Hope you get no Uber drives this weekend, Hockey Bob.
Let's head to the Belmont Automotive phone line. Big Al joins us, correct? Is that right, Giamatti? Big Al? Big Al, what's on your mind?
First off, Hockey Bob, put your helmet back on. You've taken too many head hits. Second of all, four finger. The reason they call me Big Al is because you need to do eight finger if you want me to come on.
Oh, my
God. And then you better back it up like a truck. Beep, beep. Because if it goes down, I'm the pitcher and you're the catcher. Love you, four finger.
Man.
Matheny sucks. Again.
Big Al, have a great weekend, buddy. Let's head to back to the Belmont Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Good evening, Baby O. How are you?
Where's the music?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Giamatti, come on now. What's going on?
The man's busy.
Giamatti's too busy being a bleep disturber now. He's slacking at his job. Thank you for holding him accountable. Baby O is the Jose Oquendo of the show.
I was starting to think I had the wrong station here. First of all, shout out to Big Al. Big Al, you have a great weekend, man. I would say stay out of trouble, but that wouldn't be you if you did.
That'd be an act of futility.
Yeah. Oh, look, let me turn this radio down. I don't need to hear myself repeating. You know something? I've come to one conclusion. You can tell when your baseball team sucks when your hockey team really hasn't done much in the playoffs. When guys spend 2 days talking about a damn movie that came out in 1984.
You're right.
2 days, you've been listening.
A movie that sucked.
God, see, Baby O, there's something about you being the smartest caller on the air, and it's so consistent.
Well, either the bar has been set mighty low, but I won't comment on that one. And, you know, first time out the whole series, I saw the first movie. But for some reason, I wanted to walk out of that movie, but I was on an airplane, so I couldn't do it. And maybe the doors open, I might have. But no, I wasn't a fan. The only good thing about both of those movies, either one, was the song by Peter Cetera from Chicago.
Oh, what? Glory of Love?
Oh, God, I still love that song.
Yeah. What a great, he had a great voice, man, Peter Cetera.
And let me tell you a little story behind that song. I was at a Chicago Earth, Wind, and Fire concert. This was several years ago. It wasn't here in St. Louis, though. And Earth, Wind, and Fire brought Maurice White out. And this one, he was sick. He didn't sing. They just brought him out and introduced him. And, you know, the crowd went crazy, you know. And then they said, we got a surprise for everybody. So Peter Cetera walks out because he wasn't touring with Chicago at the time. He walks out on stage. Of course, you know, the whole place goes nuts. And then he sings the song, The Glory of Love. Boy, I tell you, it wasn't a dry eye in the house. But I tell you, if you ever want to get a little downtime, get a show about concerts, about best concerts people have gone to. I know you've done it before.
What's the best concert you've been to?
What'd you say?
What's the best concert you've been to? Let's do it.
Well, I tell you, that was right up there, but I still say the Michael Jackson concert when Bad was out. He was here at the old arena. That was the best concert I had seen, and it wasn't much. And remember, it wasn't much lip syncing then. This whole show was all live.
Yeah, he actually had to sing.
I remember because we kept saying everybody's waiting for him to do Man in the Mirror. So when he walked off stage and he was waiting for an encore, but he didn't come back out. And that's when we found out the next morning that he had actually passed out behind stage from exhaustion.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, but you know, he wasn't real sick. You know, there's no telling what he had in his body. We know, we saw what killed him, but he yeah, because we were sitting around waiting, and we kept saying, you know, the lights in the arena came on, and they said he did not sing "Man in the Mirror," because we just figured that would be his last song. And it wasn't until the next day when we found out that he had passed out, and that's why he didn't come back on stage. But
Rocky,
it was a slow weekend. I mean, a slow day sports wise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Rocky, what's the best concert you've ever been to?
I actually, unfortunately, haven't been to too many live concerts.
Yeah, you don't seem like a concert goer.
No, I've been to a Dave Matthews one. I've been to 2311 concerts that happened. They brought Ziggy Marley and Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Hey.
And I went to a couple concerts down in Columbia. I'm trying to remember what bands they were.
Hey,
to Imagine Dragons a couple times. 311 and Snoop Dogg was the best one, though.
Can I ask you a question about the
yes, sir.
Ziggy Marley and Snoop Dogg concert?
Yes.
How did the building smell?
it was at the amphitheater, and yet there still was a haze. Actually, the first concert I ever went to, and it's crazy because I wasn't even a fan of this artist, but it was, who's the St. Louis-based guy who used to play Sammy Hagar? Yeah, Sammy Hagar, that's it.
Okay.
I went to Sammy Hagar concert when I was in high school because my friend got a bunch of tickets from his parents, like won like 10 tickets.
Yeah.
And so we invited everyone from school. Never really heard of Sammy Hagar before that, but went to a Sammy Hagar concert at the pageant. That was fun, but again, does not compare to the 311 and Snoop Dogg concert, which for no apparent reason, this has no reason, this doesn't involve the story at all, but I just graduated college a month before, I just graduated high school a month before the Snoop Dogg and 311 concert.
All right.
And there we go.
There were restrictions at my high school.
You know, it shows how times have changed. Matt, I know you, I'm talking Matt Berger, you're familiar with part of the group Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh, absolutely.
They came to St. Louis. This was, I believe it may have been 1978, 79. And they had this big skeleton head comes on stage before the concert starts. And this big skeleton head is talking. Who's got a joint? I want a joint. All these people run up to the front of the stage, you know, and they're handing it like these joints to this big skeleton head. Then he says, no, I want a big joint. These two guys run on stage, has got this like this makeshift joint. It's maybe about 5 or 6 feet long. They stick it in the skeleton head's mouth. And then they pull this lever, and this big ball of fire comes up and lights it. And all of a sudden, this head just starts, all the smoke starts coming out of his nose and his ears. Like, probably like the guy sitting down three rows from me.
That's crazy.
But you know what? You know what they did during the concert? This is where you know times have changed. A guy from Funkadelic came out on stage and had a basket, was passing marijuana joints out to people in the audience.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
Yes. Let me tell you something. I had never smoked before, but when I left that building, I could have flown home.
Yeah, the most weed I've ever smelled at a concert was, they used to have a tour. It used to come every summer. It was called the Reggae Sunsplash, and I went in 1996.
The ganja.
Oh, my God. I don't think I ever smelled so much weed in my entire life. It was Big Mountain and Capleton and Bounty Killer and, like, all these dance hall and reggae bands, and it was something else.
I'm a little insulted that he went, baby, yo.
I don't know if Mark is out there listening, but he may, you know, I think we're close to the same age. He may have been to that concert or knew somebody who went there. But I tell you, this is a true story about Parliament Funkadelic. They didn't care at the arena whether you smoked weed or not because everybody was doing it.
You're right.
Including the ushers.
Yeah, who are you going to arrest? You're going to arrest the entire crowd?
Yeah, and it was, I would have been the one to get arrested, and I never smoked a joint in my life and didn't smoke one. I didn't have to smoke. All I had to do was breathe that night.
I'm a little insulted, but I understand why he went to you, just assuming that I have no idea who George Clinton is.
Well, I am older.
A little insulted by that, baby O. I love me some funk music.
Baby O, have a great weekend, sir.
But Parliament Funkadelic, they kind of transcend generations. So
Yes, they do.
You're right. You guys have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday. I would say go Carter, but I don't want to jinx him.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, baby O. Take care.
That's probably one of the old. That's got to be one of the older ones in my music library.
Eric from QC is tweeting the show, and he's giving you crap for going to Dave Matthews. He said he would have kept that one hush-hush.
Oh, again, the reason I went to Dave Matthews, again, because at my age, it's sacrilege.
That's where all the women are.
It was sacrilege in St. Louis not to be a diehard Dave Matthews fan when I was around 15, 16. To the point where if I said I didn't like a Dave Matthews song, people would pull out pitchforks. And so literally it was one summer, he's hitting the amphitheater, and somebody says, hey, does everyone... It was literally like a concert I went to with like 30 people. Like, it was a huge group.
Yeah.
We like caravaned with like seven cars all on the same road down past the casino and everything. We caravaned to that one. I went to one Dave Matthews concert, unlike everyone else my age who's probably been to an average of 2.5.
314 texting in, a bow tie would make Rocchio's big head look even bigger.
Son of a... God, I hate how correct he is about that. How does he know I have a big head?
Well, the 314, apparently they know you. The best concert I've ever been to, 1996, it was The Cure's Wild Mood Swings tour. And The Cure had a light show that was comparable to Pink Floyd.
Do people still name their tours?
Well, I'm just saying that was the name of the album, but I mean, that was the Wild Swing
I'm
tour.
I'm saying, do people like...
I don't think so.
I'm saying, do bands tour on just like one album anymore?
They probably don't. The bands even like release albums anymore. They just release singles.
When I saw 311, they played two songs on their most current CD at the time and played 12 songs from their other seven CDs.
Well, yeah, you're not just going to go there and just play that one album, but that, like, you're out promoting that album.
One or two songs from that album, though?
It depends on how big the album is.
That's fair.
Like, okay, I bought tickets to go see U2 in September, and they're going to play the entire Joshua Tree, but it's not just going to be the Joshua Tree and thank you, goodnight.
But they're going to play the entire Joshua Tree.
They're going to play the entire Joshua Tree. But it's a 30-year anniversary of it, though.
Yeah,
that's the reason why. So back to the best concert I ever went to, though, was The Cure. Back in 1996, I saw them at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. At the time, it was Riverport. And The Cure had a light show that was comparable to Pink Floyd's.
Way to give them the name.
And in the background, this was like in, you know, late spring, so you still kind of had like those spring storms. It wasn't raining, but you had all this lightning going on in the back behind you and all around the amphitheater, and then the light show of The Cure on stage, and The Cure sound absolutely amazing live.
Yeah.
So you had this amazing sounding band and this incredible light show all at the same time. The best concert I've ever been to. Four figure guy texting in. Sounds like he likes Dave Matthews. I guess that means you, Matt Rocchio.
I mean, I won't lie. I'll never turn off Crash Into Me.
I love Dave Matthews.
Giamatti, what's the best concert you've ever been to?
I'm gonna have to think about it.
We've been talking about it for how long?
I know.
You knew I was gonna go to you. Okay.
So this is how you know it's probably a bunch of Dave Matthews.
Yeah, it probably is. He's like, okay, Dave Matthews is embarrassing. It was a Creed. It was a Nickelback. Okay, let's skip that one. All right, we're going to skip Giamatti here.
Give me one second.
You went to a Fall Out Boy concert, didn't you?
No, but I could get down to Thanks for the Memories right now.
Okay, what's the most embarrassing concert you ever went to? Like, you don't even want
to
tell anybody.
I swear to God, if I open your phone right now and I find the fray in your music, we're fighting. We're fighting.
Over my head may or may not be.
I swear to God, Giamatti.
According to Eric from QC, Rocchio, the most embarrassing concert you've ever been to, you've already admitted, and that's Dave Matthews. But
I've got one way worse than that.
Okay, in your opinion, what's the most embarrassing concert you ever went to?
Apparently, it's Dave Matthews.
Okay, Giamatti, the most embarrassing concert you ever went to?
It's the first concert I ever went to. My aunt took me. God, this is so embarrassing.
This is going to be bad.
It was Clay Aiken and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh!
God.
Yeah, that's bad.
Shut it down.
That one's bad.
That's like the dark ages of post 2000 music. Oh my God, that is horrendous. No, I have
a big American Idol fan.
I have nothing compared to that. And again, my concert list. Again, I gave it to you. It's a Dave Matthews concert. It's 2 3-11 concerts, and it's a Sammy Hagar concert. I've been to 4 concerts. I do not go to a lot of concerts.
That's amazing how you've never been. You're 20, almost going to be 27. That's how many you've been to.
I'm not a big concert goer.
Yeah.
I'm a big music guy, but I've never been a big concert goer. I never have. There's bands I have on my list that I want to see, but I've never gotten the chance. Blink-182 came through, didn't have the money at the time. Red Hot Chili Peppers came through, couldn't get to work.
The thing is that the concert tickets used to be really cheap, but now they're really expensive.
Hell, even some of my favorite bands that aren't even big numbers have come through, and I haven't got a chance. Real Big Fish was at Ballpark Village. I would have loved to get down to that.
It would have been fun.
And hell, that probably might be my most embarrassing. Actually, if I had gotten to go, my most embarrassing concert ever would probably be OAR. I don't even lie. I love that band.
Giamatti.
People hate it.
What were you going to say?
I love it.
Baby Otis called. He said the most embarrassing concert he's ever been to was Harrison Black, but he went with a woman.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Fair. No, that is fair. The same one with me. Most embarrassing concert I ever went to was Hootie and the Blowfish, but that's the one, the girl
is
I was seeing.
Is that that embarrassing?
It's pretty.
What year was it?
1996.
No, I think you're still in the. I think you're still in the sweet spot.
They were pretty big.
Yeah, I think you're still good on Hootie. That's not bad.
That was the girl I was seeing.
He has the fray over my head. I swear to God, Giamatti. It's a good thing we run off a playlist on this show because I have no idea what else kind of music he'd be picking for our ins and outs.
Well,
oh my God. So much respect gained for Danny LaRusso, your Danny LaRusso thoughts. So much respect lost for the fray.
Is the fray really that bad, though?
No, I respect the hustle.
You like that phrase, don't you? Respect the hustle.
I as much as I want to make fun of people who are making money and make a lot more money than me, even when it's stuff that I want to make fun of, I even want to make fun of Kelly Clarkson and whatever the...